Hey, you guys, this is Rob Paulson. We Be Geeks. How about you? Do you be geeks? We Be Geeks. Have I said the name enough? We Be Geeks. Anyway, you are listening to We Be Geeks along with Pinky.
Mark.
And Yakko. Hello, We Be Geeks.
And Raphael. Cowabee Geeks. How's that? Cowabee Geeks. And also Donatello. It sounds remarkably like Raphael, but just pretend it's Donatello. And he watches We Be Geeks, too. We all watch it down the turtle lair.
And also Kyle Weezer from Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius. I'm a geek, and that's about all I got going for me, except that I listen to We Be Geeks just like you.
Thanks a lot for listening. Have fun.
And welcome to another episode of We Be Geeks. Some reason, to me, in my ears, it sounds like the ramp didn't go down enough on the music. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. As usual.
Music nerd. That's all I can say. Music nerd.
Hey, it pays the bills. Joining us this week, as always, is myself, Mike, Marty, Jules. We're also being joined by, you've seen them on the site with their columns, Geek Happenings and Now Geek This, Derek and Brett. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
So, I guess it's been a pretty big week, E3, and of course we got Father's Day coming up, and Marty, I think you and I are going to get drilled tonight.
I'm going to leave that joke alone. You can connect the dots yourself. I'll leave it alone. Walk away.
I have a really bad feeling about this.
That's what she said.
You promise to be gentle.
So I guess before we get too far into it, let's knock the business stuff out of the way. Check out the Amazon link on the homepage. It's great, especially with Father's Day coming up. Get that free trial of Amazon Prime, free shipping. While you're there, maybe get Dad a nice pair of Audio-Technica headphones. Or, you know, their gaming mics, their gaming headsets are pretty cool. Their Sonic line is pretty awesome as well. If he doesn't care about headphones with microphones and volume control in line, check out the studio monitor headphones that they have. They sound great. It's what I use while recording this show is the M50s. It's just, they're absolutely awesome. Great sonic quality. Or check out Superhero Hype or Superhero Stuff. I'm sorry. Tons of t-shirts, tons of other geeky goodness there, including the Hero Crate or Hero Box. Hero Crate's another company. And of course, now for you ladies out there, check out the Her Universe link and hook yourselves up with some Doctor Who, Star Wars, Walking Dead, Marvel, Star Trek, whatever goodies that they have there. So, and then also want to welcome to the We Be Geeks Network, the Tangent Bound podcast. They just started this week as well. And network's slowly growing. Slow's fine. I'm okay with that. No need to rush or push.
What's the Tangent guys? What are they about?
Kind of geek culture as well. Different spin. They talk, maybe not complete geek culture, but geek and pop culture. I mean, they go off on tangents.
So, that's the perfect name for it, then.
E3 was this week, or is still kind of going on. What news is coming from E3?
Well, I have a list of games I'm looking forward to. I have Metal Gear, The Phantom Pain. The trailer for that is pretty sick if you haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Do you have a feeling though, like for me, Metal Gear is always this where the trailers they put out just look like the best thing you've ever seen with your eyeballs, and then you play the game and it's like, I don't think this translates so well to your cutscene that you wowed me with at E3. But, you know, it's still Metal Gear, so I'm sure the fans will turn out in droves for it. But that's always been my take of Metal Gear. I like to watch it. I don't like to play it as much as I like to watch it.
Oh, I love the games. That was one of my first probably games I remember finishing was Metal Gear Solid, so probably a nostalgia pick.
I think I gave up after the second one.
Those games were hard. They were not, you know, a handheld, or hold your hand through the maze and stuff like that. Like, of course, like a lot of those 8-bit games, they really were kind of hard anyways. You know, to try to play Zelda or something like that without a help guide, you were screwed.
Yeah. See, I gave up on it before the first game.
Me too.
It just wasn't.
Then you have Fallout 4 is another one I'm looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. That one's taking place in Boston.
Well, no, of course, you could go ahead and start playing it now on your iPhone or your iPad or your tablet, because they released Fallout Shelter, which is the companion to the game, is already out. They released it literally right after the press conference.
Is that to build up your character to have it ready?
Yeah.
When it came?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Smart.
So I have it on the phone. I just got added to my iPad.
And you have Star Wars Battlefront. Looks like it's going to be another good one.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
This is the first Battlefront in since PS2 days, maybe, was the last Battlefront game. So it skipped an entire generation of console. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, as soon as it got announced, they were already queuing up for it. So that should be a pretty good little hit. I wonder if any kind of how much they're going to incorporate some of the new stuff that they've released with Star Wars lately, like the new movies coming out, or if it's going to stay more original.
I think the planet that they're on where the Death Star has fallen, or not the Death Star, the Star Destroyer, has, when we see that in the second trailer, supposedly that planet and that battle is in Battlefront.
Okay.
So this kind of leads up to that.
Cool. Because I guess by the time this game comes out, the newest movie will be out this Christmas, right? Or no, it's next Christmas.
No, this Christmas.
This Christmas, okay.
The first anthology is out next Christmas.
Okay. It feels like Star Wars been on the horizon for forever, that it seems like, no, it can't be this Christmas already. It's way too soon. Yeah. No, we gotta wait.
Mike's counting down on his calendar. He has little X's to the day.
No, I don't. They're pink stars. They're pink stars.
He's got the clock that counts down backwards.
I have it on my Facebook page. I count down every day. Oh, yeah. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I cannot wait for that to come out.
The trailer just gives me chills seeing it for the new movie.
Seeing the gameplay for Hoth, oh my lord. It was like 5 minutes. I'm like, really? I probably, if you put a bowl underneath my chin, I probably would filled up like a half inch of drool. The indoor battle play video was absolutely amazing as well. And I'm like, come on, take a pot shot at an Ewok. Take a pot shot at an Ewok. I hope they do that like they did in the first Battlefront, where you could just have free, after you do the missions, you could just, do free roam and almost like a practice in whatever environment, and you just go to indoor and take a sniper and just start sniping Ewoks. I'd be okay with that.
We can tell where Mike's love hate line goes is with the Ewoks, so you must have been born before. What was the year we figured out? If you were born before 1983, then you hate the Ewoks.
No, I played that clip too, didn't I? It was from How I Met Your Mother. I think it's 74. If you were born before 73, maybe, because I know my wife likes the Ewoks and she was born in 74. I think 73.
I like the Ewoks too.
I think 73 is the timeline.
After. Yeah.
So if I was born in 74 and I'm kind of indifferent towards them, is that the line there then?
You might be the exception to the rule.
I think 1%. I liked them when I was a kid, and then now they're not as bad as some of the things in the prequels, so I can accept them more.
Well, the funny thing is, everyone hated C-3PO in the first one and the second in Star Wars. Sorry, I refuse to call it A New Hope, because when I saw it, when I saw it in the theaters, I am old enough to say that. When I saw it in the theaters. In a theater far, far away. It was Star Wars. It was not A New Hope. A New Hope didn't get added to it until it got released on video, on VHS for the first time.
I'm with you on that one.
So it's Star Wars. Everyone hated C-3PO in Star Wars. They hated him in Empire Strikes Back. Then the Ewoks come along in halfway through Return of the Jedi, and I'm sure Anthony Daniel was going, woohoo, something that now takes the heat off of me.
Well, he was a god to the Ewoks, so now everybody has to love C-3PO.
I was about to say, isn't that ironic? The one thing that can make everyone forget how much they hate you, the thing that they're like lifting up and celebrating and thinking is the greatest god on the planet of Endor.
Now, I heard a rumor that there might be an Ewok cameo in the new movie.
Oh.
But...
I could deal with that as opposed to a Jar Jar Binks cameo. Yes.
Although I did hear that they wanted to kill Jar Jar Binks, so.
Yeah.
I heard actually that they were maybe his bones or his body or something were going to be in it. I'm not sure.
As long as he doesn't talk, I'm okay with it.
He needs the hero's death to at least get some sort of redeeming factor. They're going to put him back in. He sacrificed himself to save a shuttle full of younglings or something like that to even make his existence tolerable for one more appearance.
You are crazy. They just need to make that cameo of the Jar Jar Binks that's been at Lucasfilm in Carbonite. That needs to be the thing that makes the appearance.
Oh, I'd love that.
I can see that.
So, first test victim, the Carbonite, was Jar Jar Binks. Looking up Battlefront 2. Battlefront 2 is the second installment of the Battlefront series, released in Europe in October on Halloween 2005 for PlayStation 2, PSP, Xbox, and Windows. And then November 1st, it released in North America. So, yeah. No Battlefront at all for PS3.
Yeah.
Unless it... Because PS3 wasn't backwards compatible, was it?
It was at first. And then that was the $600 model. And then when they went to go get more affordable model that people would actually buy, they took out the reverse compatibility and a few other features like that.
Okay.
So that to bring it back down to, I think it was a $400 was the next try. So yeah, no Battlefront for a long time. So it's kind of hitting that right niche where Star Wars is picking back up in popularity again with the movies coming, and then next gen console and a game we haven't played in almost a dozen years.
Yeah.
So kind of a perfect culmination. It'll be a hot item.
Like in the comics too. That have been coming out too.
Yeah. I mean, it's right. Anything Star Wars right now is right. And especially if you got an IP that people recognize and already are fans of, you're just, just start printing yourself some money because it's going to be good.
Yeah. Well, the gameplay is so much better. I mean, the graphics looks absolutely amazing. I haven't seen it look this good. Looking at a lot of the graphics, to be honest with you, I don't remember. I can't think of another game that I've really seen that looks just as great. I mean, it's borderline movie quality with the look. They definitely... I now wish 1313 came out. Because look-wise, this is right there with 1313. I could tell you, with the Hoth teaser, it bounces back and forth between, the Rebels and the Imperials, showing gameplay and whatnot. You have... I can't think of the race now that Neem Num is. But you have more races available that you could pick from.
Oh,
that you see. Yeah, the Solistan. At one point, it shows a rebel Rodan. Rodian. A Greedo-type character. And all of a sudden, player, they do a scan with the character looking around, and he sees this character being lifted up. I'm like, okay, Vader? Where? And then they turn around, and there's Vader standing right there at the top of the trench. I'm like, all right. And then they bring Luke out in the black outfit, which they're going with the Jedi Master hero look for Luke. And then you do a lightsaber battle with Vader in this thing. Okay, it's solid. I mean, you could fly ships in it during the battles, like with Hoth. You could man an AT-AT, or you can you could fly TIE fighters, X-wings, snowspeeders, the chicken walkers, the AT-STs. I mean, all of that. It's pretty out there. It's impressive. I mean,
yeah, I'm excited for it.
I'm getting it, and I'll probably spend half my time on Hoth. it's one of my favorite scenes of all the movies was that whole opening sequence of Empire.
Definitely.
So I just want to see some Wampas come across the field and start attacking as well.
Just seeing cut off its arm.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great as well. So what else do we have coming out from E3?
I got Final Fantasy VII Remake, which will be a lot of nostalgia people will have back in. I think that's probably my first RPG that I can remember playing.
Mm. That's everyone's favorite because that hit at just the right time, had just the right gameplay, and I think it's everyone's favorite. And, I mean, it's one of those games where, almost 20 years later, you still are paying almost the same price you would have 20 years ago when that game came out. amount, if not more, to actually find a copy and play it yourself, because it's held up the value and everybody loves it.
Oh, yeah.
The gold standard for the Final Fantasy. And then they've been coasting on it ever since. So
I feel left out then, because I, again, that was just one I never really got into. And then a couple times I did pick it up because a friend of mine had it or whatnot. I play it, but I just didn't see the appeal. You know, why was the whole to do?
It was mostly the story. The story just really worked and timed out, because it was, honestly, I think it was, I'm trying to remember if it was 8 or 9 when it actually jumped to the next gen system and really, like, the graphically really took a leaps and bound, really was really grabbing you by how realistic the graphics look, and it just missed it by like a game or two. But then we also realized, oh, it's not really the graphics that we fell in love with on 7. Like, they were good for their time, they were decent, but it was really that story that kind of sucked you in, and it had like this whole love story with a villain that was a clear defined villain, and you put in like some serious hours playing this game, and yeah, it hooked you. It would hook you.
There were twists and all kinds of good parts.
Good control scheme, so you didn't feel frustrated while you were playing it. It was just, you know, it was Square Enix's like coup de grace. They've been trying to reclaim Final Fantasy VII with every incarnation they've made since then, and haven't quite pulled it off.
So Final Fantasy VII, almost the perfect game.
Almost, yeah. I'd rank it up there.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
especially for RPGs. Yeah.
And did you see the video of the remake?
No, that's what I was curious. Like, how
it's. I watched it earlier today, and it looks beautiful. It's just the graphics are stunning now.
That was really the only thing it lacks to like really make it, you know, to upgrade it, is to add like those beautiful cutscenes that they've been doing with so many of their games now.
Right.
It's kind of like Metal Gear Solid kind of level cutscenes.
Yeah.
But that would be pretty awesome to see, and be able to maybe, you know, afford a good copy of it now and play it. Like I said, those things are not cheap. Like, try to find it on eBay, and it is not cheap.
So, what other games do we have coming out that you guys might be interested in? I'm pretty much stuck on Fallout and Battlefront. I saw those two. I'm like, okay, I'm good for the rest of E3. Who cares? I'm a Windows gamer. So
I read about two more sequels coming out that I'm pretty excited about. There was mention of Skyrim 2, they're making a sequel to Red Dead Redemption, which is one of my favorite games.
Nice.
I'm gonna have to find out from Ellen if she's part of Skyrim 2.
Yeah,
she might be. I mean, and those two games right there are just life killers, because you can spend so much time in both Skyrim and I can't remember the city that Red Dead was in, but you just not even doing quests, just wandering around and randomly finding things. Those are just awesomely made games that unfortunately I had a kid right about the time when those came out, so I didn't get to invest nearly as much time as I wanted to with those games. But that's awesome that they're making sequels.
Yeah, I have Mass Effect Andromeda coming out. I'm a really big Mass Effect fan, so
yeah, me too.
Do you think it'll make up for, you know, the lack of payoff from Mass Effect 3? Do you think they feel like they owe maybe fans a little something?
I think they will, but I don't know. I'm kind of one of those ones that wasn't really mad about the ending.
I wasn't either. 3. I didn't think it was that bad.
Okay, I know it sounded disappointing in the fact where they built it up, but they said like, hey, your character from Mass Effect 1 carries over to 2, carries over to 3, and it's going to like have this huge payoff that's over several years of game developing, and then you get there and it's like there's really not much of a payoff between any of the characters, you know, or at least most of them. I'd say probably like 60% of them, 70% of them people got the same ending no matter what they did. So
didn't the creators of that game kind of retire after that whole deal?
I want to say like they just kind of,
so I don't know if they have anything to do with this new one or not.
That's true. So maybe
then they come out with some DLC that changed the ending or something like that too.
Yeah, they did.
But I think it was also too little too late at that point. Like they're just like, you know, everybody. Yeah.
They were just doing it to appease people, so it was,
which is never a good way to actually win anyone over.
Yeah. Going back to Fallout real quick, I remember seeing a story saying that even the creators haven't seen everything that's in the game. So, Fallout that's coming out.
Okay.
That even the creators haven't seen everything that's in the game.
I
think I heard them say that you could put it on like your tablet with the smart glass. I'm guessing you put it on your tablet, your smartphone while you're playing the game. So if you could rig up like a little arm device or something like that, you can have it on your phone and little Pit Boy and all set.
I think Fallout Shelter. They said this game is going to be. I apologize for going back to it. They said Fallout Shelter is just. I wouldn't be surprised if it takes Game of the Year once it comes out. With the fact that they're trying to tie it in with everything, you don't have to be online to play it. You can play it offline. You can play it wherever. It's just going to be totally off the chain. It really is.
Speaking of going back, what did you guys think about the announcement from Xbox saying that they're going to do the reverse compatibility thing with their titles, where you can start playing 360 titles on your Xbox One? Does that sound interesting?
I think I have an asterisk for that because there's only certain games that you can do it. You can't play any game, and it also plays through an emulator. It's not actually, you just plug it in and play it. You plug it in and it downloads the game from an emulator.
That's
why
you
can play that way.
Because they kept saying like you'll have like 100 titles to choose from. And I was like, it's not to me. It sounds like your original disc is going to be sort of the almost like a key, and like it'll pull if the game's ready on the to be able to download already from their download service, then you get sort of the free key to be able to play that on your system. Is what it's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So yes, Marty, you could play your Barbie Dance Nation.
About time. Nobody else will play it with.
Now, only because I totally missed part of the first day. What was the whole thing about Sony killing Microsoft and with announcements? I haven't caught up to that part yet, because most of the images or pictures I had seen was like a big Soul Blade that said Sony on it that ripped through a couple Xbox machines.
Dramatic, jeez.
and I'm like, okay. But I never got back to catch up what it was.
I didn't see any like crazy announcements that made me think that they just destroyed Xbox and it wasn't anything like that. Did you guys see anything?
Not really.
I know that the new Assassin's Creed is going to have like exclusive DLC for Sony and things like that, but
nothing. As far as... No, like system seller. Like, I mean, I did see Microsoft's got a Halo that's coming out, and that's a system seller. That's a couple other things that seem like they were exclusive to Xbox. So
is the PS4 already backwards compatible with PS3 stuff?
Mm-hmm. They've got a service where you can rent games and play them on your PS4, but as far as just plugging in a disc, no.
That's why Microsoft took the nice little jab of, we don't want you to pay for games you've already bought.
Yeah.
Their announcement.
That's the thing that makes me mad about any game system when they're not backwards compatible. You buy all these games, and then if you get a new system, you might want to sell the old one. You can't use it. It's so annoying to me.
That's why PC gaming is so much better.
Well, it's one of those features like you only really look for the first couple years of like a new system cycle. Like, and then after that, there's enough games to kind of keep you occupied with the new system, and you kind of let the old games just kind of start collecting dust. But it's really only a system seller for like probably like right now and maybe the next year, and then after that, people will probably forget about 360 games for the most part.
Yeah. Except they're the same price as the Xbox One game.
The inflation of games is that the prices have just never really gone that drastically high. I mean, when we were kids, Nintendo games were $50. So, for them to only be $60, $10 more than when we were children, that's the game industry is, I don't know how they're making it. I know how they're making it. They're doing a lot more ads in games to make up the difference.
I don't remember Atari games being that high.
Well, I started with Nintendo, so
Nintendo.
By the time I got to Atari, you can get one. You can probably get three for a dollar by the time I started playing games.
Oh, my dad paid for all my Atari games, so I don't know how much they were.
I don't think many of them were really over like $25. I know Pac-Man was a higher price because one, it was Pac-Man for the 2400, Atari 2100,
and then you got it and felt ripped off because it was not Pac-Man.
Oh, it was nothing like what the.
I was like, what is? There's this thing something that looks like Pac-Man. There's some dots and a ghost, but nothing else is like Pac-Man. What the crap?
Yeah. I'm going back to E.T.
Worst game ever made.
Yeah, you fall. You try and get that one key, and you fall down, and you can't get out. Well, time to restart the entire game. Biggest disappointment of E3, y'all's opinions?
Probably Nintendo.
Which has been becoming like the norm. Like, yeah. unless it's a Nintendo made game, there's nothing to be excited about for anything else on Nintendo. You know, you're going to get your Marios, you're going to get your Donkey Kongs and your Zeldas and things like that. But, you know, anything other than that, what are you looking for?
we're going to be partnering with Apple. We're going to be partnering with Universal. Yay. Now, what about the game systems? Right. Huh? What?
But I feel like, too, with Nintendo, they were talking about the Mario Maker game, like, last E3 or something. I don't know. It was, like, a long time ago, and it's still not out. And, like, we've been, like, I literally been sitting here waiting for it to come. Like, I'm like, because it just looks so fun. You know, I play with my kids, so that's something we can do together. But I don't understand why it's taking so long to get any games from Nintendo. Because, like, we got the Wii U, and then we had, like, one or two games for it for, like, a long time. And then finally we got the new Mario Kart and, you know, all that other things, but it just took a long, long time. So I think that's what one of the problems is.
Part of the problem is Godzilla's got really, really big hands and, you know, keyboards are only so big.
Plus he's the ambassador now, so...
He can only punch so many times.
And I think Nintendo's got to feel a little back against the wall because they put out the Wii U a year earlier than the other systems. It's not nearly as powerful as the other system.
I almost feel like the Wii is more powerful than the Wii U. Well, I mean, I have a Wii. I don't have a Wii U. And I'm hearing a lot of people say the Wii was a much better system.
Yeah, well, maybe it's because you actually, you know, more likely to play it because, you know, with the Wii U, the titles are still barely coming out, and you know, honestly, I think one of the major downfalls was like day one when they named the thing. They named it the Wii U. So you go to the average gamer, the 8 to 10 year old boy that asked his parents for a Wii U, and they're like, "Well, yeah, I got a Wii." And so you've already created confusion between the main gamer and the main gamer's money supply, the parent. And from there, it just trickles down into nobody buying the system because they don't understand.
Mom, Dad, I want the FU from Nintendo.
They would have known it's a different system, at least, you know. And what they like, really feel about it.
DVDs or Blu-rays or anything on them either, can you, on the Wii's?
Nope.
I don't think so, no. We know. Yeah, no. So. We can't, because we have the Wii U, and we don't use it for that. The PS4, we do, but yeah, I know. I didn't even, like, it didn't even register that it doesn't do that. I mean, like, for us, we've always wanted, like, we have the Wii U, so, like, whatever the new Nintendo comes out, we'll probably get it, just because that's what we do, like, and I think the best seller of the Wii U is that, you know, you can still play on the tablet. Like, if someone's watching TV, you can play Mario, you can play whatever. So, like, my kids do that occasionally. But I don't know. I just need more from Nintendo because I love Nintendo, all things Nintendo. So I need more games. And then, like, they did that Amiibo thing, and I feel like they were trying to copy off, because Skylanders had such a huge success. I feel like that's what they were trying to copy off of. And then, like, we don't even own any. Like, nobody bought them. So, like, and Skylanders is a great game. It's just, I don't understand why.
That's because Jonathan London with Geekscape, he's bought them all. And Jonathan's
that's
a cool,
why I can't find them.
Jonathan's a cool guy, but he's got them all.
I think I heard somebody else criticizing about the on the Amiibo side where they were having problems keeping them in stock in a lot of places and had just like poor future, you know, outlook on actually making enough or for demand and stuff. And I can't remember if it was the Skylanders people or if it was the Infinity the ones that are actually doing it. And it's like, it's not that stinking hard, really. It's like, how can you guys not quite understand how this works?
No. Well, of course, now Lego's getting into the game too with Lego Universe.
Oh, right. So I mean, it's a nice little interactive thing, and you gotta think, you know, after you sell a game, unless they're buying DLC, you don't get any, you know, there's no continuing profit coming in. But the little collectible figures, you know,
but those things get so expensive though, especially when like the rare ones and things like that. You end up spending a ton more money on them.
But it creates demand for them even more, and people are still looking looking for or playing your game maybe possibly longer than they would for a normal game.
Now, are the retailers, I'm not talking like GameStop or anyone else, is like Walmart and Target, are they selling the more rare ones at a higher price than the like commons?
Probably not, but your secondary market is, you know, like you know, the person that randomly goes to Walmart at 2 a.m. and finds it just recently stocked on the shelf is going to cash in on eBay.
I don't think that's random if they're going at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's probably planned, like what I used to do when the Star Wars DVDs and then a few other DVDs would come out.
Hey, sometimes you just don't know what you're going to do. And 2 o'clock in the morning, there's only about three things open. You got Taco Bell drive through. You already hit that. And then you got to go to Walmart, get you some dryer sheets, some Amiibos, and an iron.
Yeah. Some random stuff.
Yeah. Maybe some picture frames and a futon. That's the only place you're going to get it.
Well, Skynet's open.
I will tell you, though, when the Skylanders came out, like the first series, we literally went to like 100 stores looking for a wrecking ball, like this little green guy.
All you had to do was go to a construction site.
And, like, we could not find him. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And online, because this was, like, when Skylanders first came out, they were super expensive. And they had him at Comic-Con. It'd be, like, $50, $60. I'm like, it's, like, I don't know, between 7 and 10 in the store. So, I'm like, I'm not paying $60 for it. We ended up finding it, like, 2 months later. But I was like, whew, I'm one of those parents really looking for just one thing. So, like, I can see how the Amiibos would be good. But, like we don't have any here, unfortunately. And I don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen them.
They're pretty well made. I will give them that. They look really nice. I don't have a Wii U, so they mean nothing to. But you know,
I've never seen them.
I want to get them just to get them. I don't have a Wii U either, but some of them. Well, I want a little Mario.
Yeah.
They look nice.
I mean, of the three, you know, games that use little figurines, you got the Amiibos, you got the Skylanders, and you got the Disney Infinity stuff. Like, I honestly think the Amiibos are probably the better looking little minifigures, quality wise.
Mm-hmm.
But usage wise, I don't think anybody's actually using them for what they're supposed to be.
All I can tell you is Skylanders and Disney Infinity, because I have not seen these others. I've been to Target. I've been to my Target. My Target doesn't have it. Skylanders or Infinity. I haven't seen them at the other.
Hmm. Best Buy definitely has them because we saw them. But no, Disney Infinity.
It must be stuff above the Florida Georgia line.
I'll have to send you an Amiibo. But no, Disney Infinity totally confused me because we bought it and like when I would put the thing on, I don't know, it was just kind of weird. Like it wasn't user friendly for me. Like I feel like I should put it on and then there's my guy and then I go. But like it was like something weird. It was like you had to do this other thing and you were like a shadow or something. I don't know. And I just didn't understand it. I was like, okay, I played like 5 minutes and I was done. But
it's all right.
That's what the Skylanders did right. You put it on and then like you're that guy. Like you can change and it's just like you have whatever their abilities are. So I don't know. I think Nintendo, I think you can like power up your guys or something. So they're like more powerful.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Disney Infinity 3.0. It's got Star Wars. Enough said.
It's true. Yeah, because I thought it was a pretty big deal when they brought in the Marvel stuff. Like, that's awesome. Marvel, you can play all your favorite games. And then, yeah, you throw in Star Wars and it was Yoda, start talking with Rocket Raccoon. It's all over, man.
Yoda, Rocket Raccoon, and Sorcerer Mickey. Whoa.
blow someone's mind.
To quote Joey Lawrence. Whoa. So, anything else from E3?
I think that's about all I had.
Alrighty. Well, I know, I haven't talked just recently about Disney. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Phineas and Ferb, done, over, after 6 years.
Oh, no.
Yep, final episode was, I believe, this past weekend.
No more Doofenshmirtz. I'm so sad.
No more
them pulling one over on their sister for the 1,000.
Well, there's a spinoff show coming that is based on the Animal Agents. And I think it's still going to have Perry. And I'll probably still have Doofenshmirtz.
Oh, good.
hopefully next show maybe we'll get a little bit more details about it. But yeah, sad to see it go. Like I said, I haven't recorded. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet because busy weekend this past weekend.
I've only seen like a handful of episodes, but does the formula really change much? Does does the sister ever just stop trying to figure out what Phineas and Ferb were trying to get him in trouble? Is that always
no,
the case?
No, 90% of the time, yeah, that was the case.
Okay.
And then there was some, but
it got really old fast for me. Granted, I'm an adult. It's not my target demo, but it's just like, all right, I got to figure it out. It's okay. When are you going to mix up the formula a little bit, guys? Come on.
The Star Wars episode was cool. The Marvel episode was cool. The Dimensional movie was cool.
We watched that a million times. Yeah, that was really good.
Now, the episode after the Dimensional movie that takes place with not the main Phineas and Ferb universe we know, but that one with the rebellion and the resistance, that one was pretty cool too. So, but yeah, it's sad to see Phineas and Ferb go. Doofenshmirtz Evil
Incorporated! He makes that show. He is the best character. I think he's the best character in that show. Like, that's why I just want them to make a show just about him.
Wow! If I had a nickel for every time I was doomed by a puppet, I'd have 2 nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice, right?
Just his voice. Voice is funny.
Boom!
So, I guess, Marty, it's time for our interrogation.
Interrogation? I swear I didn't do it, man. She told me she was 18, and it was dark. I don't know what really happened. What are we talking about?
She signed paperwork. She signed a waiver saying she was 21.
Which interrogation are we talking about? There's a lot of them on my list these days, on my docket.
Well, I think this was a topic brought up by Derek. So, floor is all yours, Derek.
Well, I thought with Father's Day coming up and everything, it'd be a kind of, good idea to kind of talk a little bit about being a geek father and growing up with a geek father and things like that. Because I know my father personally, he's the one who got me started. He's a big Star Trek fan, so I'm a big Star Trek fan as well. And then he took me to see Star Wars when I was a wee little one, so that got me started on that. He used to take me to Star Trek conventions when I was a kid all the time, and he used to buy me all my comic books. So pretty much everything that I am as a geek, I can thank him for. So as far as the interrogation goes, I was just wondering from you guys. I don't have kids myself, and I was just wondering when you had kids, did you ever think about things like when you would show them Star Wars or how you would introduce them into the things that you love and things like that? How would you go about doing that?
I think at first, I remember watching some cartoons with my son, and he was like 2, so of course he had no idea what was going on.
Right.
So we would just do that together. And at first I was like, oh, I want to show him like all these awesome things. And I think I remember showing him like Star Wars at like 2, and he was just too young to grasp it and understand it and remember it, things like that. And so I kind of pulled back on like showing him all these things. But then you realize, you're in that world. And so he's not that far away from it. He's going to be exposed to it, at least in my case. And so I wouldn't even like force anything on him. I was just like, oh, let's do this. And he'd all be done for it. And his friends are all like in the superheroes and stuff too, so it crosses over there, and the next thing you know, he's liking the same things I'm liking, and I don't even have to tell him about it. Like, hey, here's this thing with Iron Man in it. He's like, oh, Iron Man, and he'll sit there and watch it or participate or want to look at, depending on what it is. Yeah, but so now it's at the point where he's 4, gonna be 5 pretty soon, and I can think of some things I wouldn't mind like showing him, like older movies he might not see. But I'm not even like trying to force it now. Like, it's just like, it's all around him. He's going to pick it up at some point when he's ready or when he might be interested in it. And that's kind of cool to see where he comes to it on his own. And I think he might actually, enjoy it more that way instead of it being like something like, here's this thing you got to like, son, or else you're kicked out of this house because you're not nerd enough.
Right.
But yeah, so that's how I always kind of see it. And kids always just look up to their parents anyway. So if you get super excited about something, then they tend to get super excited about it too.
Yeah, they usually do look up because a lot of times the parents are taller than.
This is true. Except in case of Jules, where I think her 4-year-olds are already taller than her. So yeah, that's and So that's how it's been for me. Like right now, I had like that awesome nerd dad moment. I took my son to go see Avengers 2 with me. It was just him and me. And I wasn't really sure how he liked it, but, you know, because we can't really talk in the movie theater as much. But after the movie's over, like it plays the credit scene, which if you haven't seen Avengers 2, I mean, no spoiler, but like Thanos shows up. And like, so he pops up on screen. And as soon as that scene's done, my son looks at me, turns around, looks at me, because he's sitting in my lap, and he goes, "That was Thanos." And it was just like, you know, there's like people, there's nerds all around me, and they're like, "Holy crap, this 4-year-old knows who that character was," you know? not like, you know, it's not Iron Man, it's not Hulk, it's not easily recognizable, it's Thanos. And he's like all talking about this imaginary Avengers 3 that he had just made up that's going to star Thanos in it. And it was just like one of those moments like, oh, my son, he's awesome. So that was like, that's my most recent like favorite nerd dad moment that's happened to me.
That's really cool.
This past Monday was Melissa and I's 19th wedding anniversary.
And, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
And
condolences usually, to the wife.
I'm surprised I'm still here.
She hasn't choked you into sleep yet.
Yet. So usually I'll take off the weekend either before or after our anniversary, depending on where it falls in the week. Well, since it was early, I took off before. And we went to the last day of the last weekend of Star Wars weekends. And we invited a friend of hers and her dad with us. And here we are going through the park. And here's Zoe explaining to her best friend, who's also a dancer, loves princesses and whatnot. Oh yeah, those are stormtroopers, and they do this, and they're really bad shots, and you know, and just going through explaining Star Wars. Yeah, she hasn't really seen the movies yet. I mean, she's seen parts of Star Wars. She hasn't seen the whole film yet. Rebels. I was so glad that started at an age that she could really get into it. Now, with this last year, because for a while, the show came out on Mondays. We watched it Wednesday. Because being off Wednesday, Thursdays, you know, we watch it during dinner. That was our dinner show. It's like new Star Wars Rebels is on. Can we watch it with dinner? Yes, ma'am. Sure can. I have no problem with that. Here we go. Sabine, definitely her favorite. She fell in love with Ahsoka, even though she really didn't know the series. And she's met Ashley Eckstein, and that really became a cool thing. And of course, it helps too that Ashley Eckstein is the voice of Mia the Bluebird in Sophia the First, which is another show she likes. And just going through, and she geeks, you know, she has her own thing that she geeks out about that I've learned more just so I could kind of help keep up with her and help explain to others in the family what she might be looking for. But My Little Pony, she geeks out over My Little Pony. She geeks out with Miles from Tomorrowland. She loves Casey Undercover. I mean, she's gotten her own geek on. She knows the heroes. She still can't differentiate DC and Marvel quite yet, but she knows Wonder Woman and Captain America and Hulk and all of that. I mean, I think she was doomed from the beginning, because the day she was born, there was a Friday, and of course, Friday nights in 2009 was Star Wars Clone Wars.
TGIF.
So here I am holding, you know, Melissa's eating her dinner, watching TV. And of course, the hospital room we're in had one of those machines where it was all, you know, it was a computer / TV / whatever, you know, game, little hospital game system deal where you touch on the screen. And so I turned it to the secondary TV so I could watch Clone Wars. Yeah, kid was born, but I'm still not missing Clone Wars. I could watch it. I have a chance to watch it while she's watching the other TV, and I had my daughter sitting right on my chest. Of course, my daughter's she's asleep. She's not paying attention. Less than 24 hours old, but she's right there on my chest when we're watching the Clone Wars. Or I'm hoping she's probably listening to it, not knowing anything was going on. But I'm, as far as I was concerned, the two of us were watching Clone Wars. And I guess going back with my dad, see, I never really thought of my dad as a geek. But then again, I didn't know I was truly a geek until until, you know, years, maybe 6-7 years ago. Mm. Well, maybe a little longer than that. Definitely late college years is when I really would say, yeah, I am a geek because this is the stuff I like. And it's not stuff that other people like. I mean, I'm a sports fan too, and that's not common in a lot of places. It's either you like sports or you don't. If you like sports, you can't like this. Well, no, I like all of it. So it's like what Derek was talking about. I grew up on Star Trek. Well, up until 77, that's all there was. Star Trek, Space 1999. I mean, whatever. 77's when life changed. The wars began. That whole myth began. But I was okay with it because I still liked Star Trek. I still liked Batman 66. Who cares that there was a Superman movie that came out? Cool. Superman's part of Batman's world. No big deal. And then of course Buck Rogers. I mean, I liked Buck Rogers when it came out. I liked Battlestar Galactica when it came out, in 78. Sci-fi junkie, spaceships. Cool. Give me public library had of course the various ones I went to. I always went to try and find this book. I can't remember the artist. I don't remember the name of the book, but there was a book about, it was an artist collection of spaceships. And I'm looking at some going, and I know it wasn't Macquarie stuff because all his was all Star Wars based, but it was just these books on spaceships, futuristic science fiction spaceships, be it cruisers or fighters or whatever. And I'm like, this is awesome. And that's where my love is. I mean, yeah, I watched Doctor Who. I watched Red Dwarf with my dad on Friday nights and Saturday nights and Space 1999 reruns and everything. I didn't realize how much of a rub off there was from my dad, and how I sort of like what I'm allowing my daughter to do, developing her own. I share some things in common, but there's a lot of stuff that I like that my dad's like, okay, that's a little out there. But I've had conversations about Defiance. My dad and I would have conversations each week about Defiance. Well, what'd you think of this week's episode? That was pretty cool. What about you? Well, second season is like, you watching Defiance? Because I watched the first three episodes and called it. Okay. And then it was my dad who was catching up with me. So we're caught up with S.H.I.E.L.D. What do you think? Prefer Agent Carter, Dad, but this second season of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s 10 times better than the first. So, yeah, it's I don't know. It's as Marty said, they're going to get the influence somewhere. Now, I tell my daughter, she made the comment to me today. She goes, Dad, it's okay for girls to like boy things because it's just all right. Boy things can be girl things too. I'm like, you're right. And I'm thinking in my head, you're damn right. And don't let anyone ever tell you it can't be. So that's why it bugs me. We've had this conversation on here about costumes. Girl costumes, just make them. If they're supposed to be Supergirl, make it Supergirl colors. Screw this pink and white crap. So if you're going to do the purple and yellow with Batgirl, make it look like the 1966 Batgirl costume. It was purple. Batgirl's costume was purple and yellow. Make it that way. Don't do this purple and silver crap. And put them in skirts. No. No. The only superhero.
Don't forget the sexy. You gotta make it sexy for Halloween.
Oh, that's the adult costumes. Yeah.
So. Were your nerd influences coming from your dads for most of you, or was it for your moms, or did you get it from a third party entirely?
Mine was definitely my dad.
Mine was actually my mom. I think I remember seeing Star Wars for the first time in the theater with her, and E.T. saw with her. My dad, I was always out hunting with. that was our thing. Didn't do too much geeky stuff with him.
I remember there was one trip. We were living in Arkansas. My dad and I, and I think there was my brother might have been along. I don't remember. I don't know if he was old enough yet. But I think one of my friends from high school, or from elementary school at that point still, and maybe his dad, we went to a drive-in theater to go see The Black Hole. Disney's The Black Hole. Awesome. I want to find a drive-in theater down here somewhere, and I want to go see something in the drive-in theater. I want my daughter to experience that, because there's nothing like a drive-in theater.
We used to have one around here.
Yeah, we've got one. That's about 40 minutes away from where I live. There's quite a few actually that have been popping up in Tennessee. I'm kind of surprised there's not any in Orlando where you could probably even have it, you know, almost year round instead of just here. It's only in the summertime because of the weather.
Yeah.
Seems like untapped potential right there. Get on it, Mike. You got the money, right?
Hey, go start a business.
Yeah.
I have started one. It's called Weeby Geeks.
Make Weeby Geeks the drive-in experience.
Yeah, the Weeby Geeks drive-in.
Now, I have plans for, you know, win the lottery, indoor type drive-in. Uh-huh. But I'm
indoor
just
indoor drive-in. What is this? It's just like you drive in, because I know where the Tennessee Titans play is or the practice at. It's like this huge. It essentially looks like a bubble or like a blimp kind of deal. But I don't even know what it's made of. If it's foam or what. But if you have like that and you drive in and then you have the screen up there, is that what you're thinking? Like, and that's where it's rain and shine kind of.
Sorta.
Get out of the sun, because the sun will fry us.
Well, I guess I could talk about it, and if someone steals my idea, I can say, no, I came up with it. I've had it for a while, and I put it out there on the show. And
you put it out to the universe, and it's bouncing back to you.
So
thank you.
Anyone who steals this idea, it was said here first, and I got the documentation to prove it. So,
all right, what's the money maker? Come on.
So we're thinking, you know, I have thought about sort of like a four-story like building, mm-hmm. and we just take the wall and you pull, you only use like half the floors and make the other half, except for the first level, so it's almost like first level and then three balconies.
Okay.
Big screen, you know, the drive-in style screen, and you take old cars with no engines, it's just basically the shells, and you have the modern stereo in each car, and essentially it's all wired in, so you don't have to worry about dialing it in on the radio or whatnot, but you can still volume control each system with the car radio. And you watch your movie right there, and you could go get food, you know.
So basically, did you ride the Back to the Future ride at Universal Studios?
Yes.
So you're basically that, except for any movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Except any movie, yeah, and the cars don't move; they just sit there.
And they have to be they all have to be DeLorean. That's the other prerequisite.
No,
it's gonna be DeLoreans, man. This is my dream too. This is my dream too.
There might be a DeLorean there, but. But no, I mean, you have all that. You have the concession stands. You have, you know, the projected theater, you know, the theater box as well, projecting the movie onto the screen. When you get out of the car, obviously, you know, have some speakers so you can actually continue hearing the movie as you're heading to the concession stand. And, you know, and concession stand is not going to be just, oh, nacho, you know, what you normally get at the theater. I mean, you could get burgers. You could get, you know, it'd be like a short order chef type deal where you get burgers or chicken, you know, chicken nuggets, chicken tenders, whatever. If you want, you know, you can make it an actual dinner instead of just snack type deal. That's the thought. So
make it so, man. Make it so, number one.
I'm just trying to figure out how to get it done. It's called the lottery. But yeah, so that's the thought, and that would be a cool idea.
I can see that working.
And then like during the summers and whatnot, still do, you know, the summer movies for kids. And kind of almost do it the old way. Because I remember when I was a kid, during the summer movies, redeem so many bottle caps and that for a ticket to a film on a Saturday.
I've never heard of this.
Sort of like what we did in, we did this in Arkansas. There was a theater there that you turn in, like 10 bottle caps and you got a ticket for the matinee. And it didn't matter if you were, and you were kids that did it. This was, oh Lord, 78 through maybe 81, something like that.
Talking like plastic bottle tops or like
no, pop talking tops, like, talking the old glass bottle caps.
What kind of monetary value can that hold though for any kind of retailer? Like, oh, I'll take your bottle cap, son. This will get me a nice half nickel when I get to
I think they had some connection with the. With the local bottling company.
Yes.
As a way of recycling bottle caps.
But what about the rest of the bottle? Isn't that more of a piece of recycling than the little bitty bottle cap?
I have no clue. This is the 80s, dudes. Recycling wasn't that big of an issue.
I'm trying to work out the rationale of 1980.
Bottle caps were easy to grab. There were
that at all, but I'm just trying to figure out the secondary use of a bottle cap.
But you know, I would almost do the same thing now. You know, for kids during the summer, I don't know if I would do it with soda, promote that. Oh yeah, here, rot your teeth, kids, so you come to a movie. But you know, something cool, something fun like that, bottle caps but they had to be soda bottle. They had to be soda bottle caps, no beer bottle. They wouldn't take, obviously, a kid show up with all.
They wouldn't take beer bottle caps from a kid. Why not? Really wrong, man.
Think about it, Marty.
Hey, if he drank that sixer on Honest, he should be able to redeem them for a movie.
I just graduated from pre-K, man.
Hard life out here.
Bud Light, here we go. I think a program like that, I mean, it's already cool now that some theaters are doing dollar movies on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. In my town,
we have, in the summers, they're doing free movies in the park for the kids.
Yeah.
Like, they're showing, like, Frozen and a couple other movies for families to come.
Yeah, they do the City of Kissimmee does that, I think, once a month as well. But I know, like, Regal Cinemas does a summer movie program. So Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you can see a different, each week is a different movie, but, there's a list of movies.
The ones you have to go in at, like, 10 in the morning to go see?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's, like, a buck.
Yeah.
I think
it's still 10 in the morning on, like, a Saturday. And it's like, I don't
want to
go.
No, it's on a Tuesday. It's like 10 in the morning on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay. That's usually the ones that I find out about, like on Saturday. I'm not getting up to go to a movie I already own.
I know Cinemark does it. I don't think AMC does it. Someone else does it, though. I know Regal, Cinemark, and some other company does it.
Cinebun, Cinescope?
No. I'm not sure who the other is. So, but yeah. Any other topics for the night?
Not me.
I think we covered it all. Well, we thank everyone for coming on and hope everyone has a happy Father's Day coming up. And if you're a single mom, still happy Father's Day to you. Other than that, if that pretty much wraps it up, check everyone out on Facebook and Twitter. You can find everyone's info and their bios on. Do you guys have y'all's info in your bios on Weeby Geeks? Good question. It's been a while.
I don't know, editor in chief, do we?
So why don't everyone give out quickly your Twitter handles, one at a time, not all together.
I'm geek _ happenings.
I am at NES of Geek.
Jules.
I am at Jules Hendricks.
And Marty.
I am at Giant Yoda.
And I am Weeby Geeks, or even Marvel Geeks, because of the other show I do. Until next week, another time, another channel, maybe, I don't know, as I'm scrambling, because...
Want to know more?
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.